Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. We'll read that in just a minute. But I want to start out by talking about many years ago, back in the 1990s, during the first years of my personal born-again journey, around the time when I got saved, started following the Lord. I belonged to a church in Athens, Georgia, and there was a pastor at this church who liked to use a certain expression. He incorporated it into many of his messages, and the expression was, "You don't want to have to take another trip around the mountain." And the context of that would always be a situation where a believer was not listening to God or was disobeying God, or maybe they were just in a situation that they just didn't know how to get out of. And so this pastor would caution us, warning us to watch out, or you may find yourself having to take another trip around the mountain. So that's essentially what happened to the Israelites that came out of Egypt. They disobeyed, they rebelled, they resisted God's direction, and the result was they were forced to take another trip around the mountain, and another, and another, and another, until, as Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16 and 19 says, "For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." So that generation of Israelites never stopped taking another trip around the mountain, as it were. But today we're going to see that their children, unlike their fathers, had faith. Numbers 14:31, what does it say? "But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, God says, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised." So in today's message, in the few minutes we have this morning, I want us to consider two paths: the path of unbelief and the path of faith. And let's look at today's main text. Again, it's Hebrews chapter 11. We're just going to pick up where Harry would have left off last time. We're in verse 30 now. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. It's just one verse. Here it is. "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days." And so the title of today's message is "The Walls of Jericho and You." So let's pray one more time. Lord, thank you for this morning. I pray that you would speak to us this morning. You'd speak to me, speak to the men, speak to anyone watching online. And I pray you'd have your way with this message. May we have hearts to receive whatever it is that your Spirit, Holy Spirit, that you want to speak to us this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I titled it "The Walls of Jericho and You." It could be called "The Walls of Jericho and Me," "The Walls of Jericho and Us." But the point is the same. So back to that generation of Israelites, the ones who came out of Egypt, they fell in the wilderness. They did not enter the promised land. Why? Because they did not believe God. However, they did believe someone. Remember, they believed the men who spied out the land, who said in Numbers chapter 13, 28, those men said, "The people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified. They're very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And then on to verse 31, they say, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And then verse 33, these spies said, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. And though Caleb and Joshua did their best to persuade the people to believe God, the other spies prevailed with their pessimistic, doubtful, unbelieving attitudes. And so, the Israelites were forced to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. They could not enter the promised land because of unbelief. But fast forward to Joshua chapter 2. The Israelites' little ones are now grown, and they now face the same scenario that their fathers faced decades earlier. Joshua sends men to spy Jericho. Rahab the harlot hides them. And when these spies return to the Israelite camp, they give a much different report than their fathers gave. These spies report in Joshua 2:24, truly the Lord has delivered the land into our hands. For indeed, all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. My, what a difference 40 years makes, right? After 40 years of seeing God's chastening of their fathers, this next generation was not going to make the same mistakes. This generation had faith. This generation believed God. This generation was not going to have to what? Take another trip around the mountain. And that is a great lesson for us. Are we going to walk in unbelief, or are we going to walk by faith? Are we going to listen to bad external voices, for instance? You might call them the naysayers, the folks who would tear down our faith. Often, unintentionally, by the way, I think oftentimes the naysayers mean us no harm. But whether they have good intentions or not, their effect is the same. The effect of the naysayers is to hinder or even tear down our faith. So we have to ask ourselves the question, are we going to listen to naysayers in our lives? Or are we going to listen to bad internal voices? Our flesh, you know, our own worst enemy could be the voices in our head sowing doubt, sowing unbelief. It's our carnal flesh warring against the spirit within us. So we have to make that decision. Are we going to listen to our flesh? Or, of course, the source of our unbelief sometimes could be the devil, right? Spiritual warfare. Are we going to fall for the devil's tricks? Are we going to fall for his lies? Are we going to fall for his attempts to shipwreck our faith? Are we going to listen to the devil? So, whether it's naysayers externally, right, or your own flesh, or the devil attacking your faith, the end result is the same. It is unbelief and it is doubt if you listen to those voices, right? And the end result can lead to having to take another trip around the mountain. So, how can we combat this? How can we get on track, stay the course, and walk by faith? So, I think there's many ways we can do this, and I see examples of this in today's story about Jericho. What does our main text today say? By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. So I want us to look at three key reasons that this generation of Israelites was able to go into the promised land unlike their fathers. Three key reasons. Number one, they believe God's word. Number two, they listen to good voices. And number three, they were determined to leave the wilderness. So we'll talk about those three right now. So number one, they believe God's word. What was God's word in this situation? Well, it was Joshua chapter 6, 2 through 5. Here it is. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." Now, I know we're all familiar with that story. We've heard it a million times, I'm sure. But let's pretend we've never heard that story before. And let's pretend we are these Israelites, and we're Joshua, and we've just been told this is the plan. Okay, now let's be honest. Whoa, hold on a second. So Joshua tells the people, here's the plan, okay? Does this plan make any sense at all? No, it makes no sense, okay? Joshua gets the word from the Lord. He goes and tells, all right, we're going to do this, all right. People are like, hey, we're going to march around the city 7 days. Any questions? We're going to blow trumpets. Any questions, Israelites, before we do this? I have a question. Why shouldn't we be building a siege ramp maybe? How about let's spend 7 days like shooting thousands of arrows to weaken their frontline defenses? Or how about let's build a big wooden horse. Let's hide some soldiers inside. Let's leave it at Jericho's gate. Let's wait for them to pull it inside. Then we'll attack them from inside the city. That's a good plan. You want us to do what? March around the city 7 days blowing trumpets. And then the walls are just going to fall down. Again, let's be honest here. That was a very unorthodox battle strategy. That is a strategy that the Israelites, a strategy that you, a strategy that me could have easily rejected because it wasn't logical, it wasn't rational, it didn't make any sense unless your faith was in God's ways and not man's ways, right? What does Psalm 33:16 and 17 say, "No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength." Psalm 27, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." And then, of course, Zechariah 4:6, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Christian, we walk by faith, not by sight. And sometimes God is going to call us to take a step of faith, you might even call it a leap of faith, that may not make a whole lot of sense. Probably many of us have been there. Maybe all of us have been there. Maybe we've been there several times, right? Where we've had to step out in faith, definitely not certain of the outcome. And sometimes stepping out to do something that frankly just didn't make a whole lot of sense. Didn't understand all of it, but the Lord gave you peace about it. You determined you were going to walk by faith, not by sight. You determined, I'm going to trust you, Lord, and not lean on my own understanding. That's what the Israelites did in this situation with Jericho. The Israelites believed God's word. Just real quick as an aside, I really kind of wanted to point something out, remind us of something. You know, the Israelites, they did not have the, what I would just call the miraculous privilege, the awesome privilege of being able to carry around God's word with them 24/7, whether it be this or on your phone, right? I mean, it's really a miracle, man. Don't take it for granted. I mean, there have been thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years of human history, but very few people on the planet could own a Bible until Gutenberg invented the printing press in the 15th century. And so, I mean, we need to cherish this. We need to thank God for this, and we need to show our gratitude to God by reading this and studying this and meditating on this regularly, whether it's an actual Bible like I'm holding or if it's in your phone. But never take that for granted. We are a unique generation we're a unique, this last 500 or so years, a generation of Christians who've had the incredible privilege of being able to carry the Word of God around with us. So anyway, that was just an aside. I just felt the Lord wanted me to point out, because the Israelites, you know, they had to hear God's Word. They weren't carrying it around with them, right? Their faith truly was coming by hearing, right? So back to them. So the Israelites, where did they hear God's word about Jericho? They heard God's word about Jericho from their leader, Joshua. He told them what the angel of the Lord had told him. He told them what the angel of the Lord had told him. And that brings us to our second key, okay, to walking the path of faith and not the path of unbelief. Number one, we need to believe God's word. The second key to not having to take another trip around the mountain is they listened to good voices. They listened to good voices. Now remember, their fathers had a really good voice to listen to, right? A good, godly leader. Their fathers had who? Moses. But that generation rejected the word of the Lord from Moses. So there's a great lesson right there. It doesn't do us any good to surround ourselves with good voices if we're not going to listen to them. But now this next generation was ready. This generation was ready to listen to Moses' successor, Joshua. Their hearts were in the right place. They were submitted to the authority of God Almighty. They were submitted to God's servant and their leader, Joshua. They said to Joshua, we read in Joshua 1:16, they said to him, they said, all that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. These Israelites had learned obedience to God's word and obedience to the good voices God had put in their lives. And they actually had even learned obedience before God established Joshua as their leader. Because the very next verse here, Joshua 1:17, they continue on. They say, all that you command us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. So the fathers of these Israelites did not obey Moses and God's word, and they suffered the consequences. But their children did listen and did obey, and the consequences were what? Blessings. because blessings always follow obedience. Every single time, 100% of the time, blessings always follow obedience. So who are the voices in your life? Who are the voices in my life? Who are the leaders in your life? Are they good? Are you listening to them? It's a question we need to ask ourselves. And then our last key, number three. You may wonder where I'm going with this, but you're going to find out pretty quickly, all right? The third key, they were determined to leave the wilderness. I mean, that might seem obvious, okay, but it's not. Third key, they were determined to leave the wilderness. So, once again, let's consider that generation of Israelites that came out of Egypt. They didn't believe God's word. They did not listen to good voices. And as a result, they all stayed stuck in the wilderness, taking one trip around the mountain after another until ultimately they died there, having never left the wilderness. And so I hope this message is for somebody in here, because I really feel like this, what I'm about to get into right now, hopefully is for someone. That's really, I think, the purpose of us being here today is that I hope this part of my message really speaks to someone or many of you perhaps. But the question is, are some of you here or watching online in a wilderness right now? Maybe you just got there. Or maybe you've been there a long time. But regardless of how long you've been in the wilderness, I want you to know something. It is not God's will that you stay in the wilderness. I'm going to say that again. It is not God's will that you stay in the wilderness. Now, it very well may be God who put you in the wilderness, right? I mean, after all, our Lord Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness at the very beginning of his earthly ministry. So God may have put you in the wilderness, or maybe you are to blame for the wilderness you are in because of some bad choices that you've made. But either way, all Christians will have wilderness experiences at some point. We all must face suffering and affliction and the valleys of life, even the valley of the shadow of death, right? It's part of the Christian experience, going through a wilderness. But again, it is not God's will that you stay there forever. No. So this next generation of Israelites were not going to stay there forever. These Israelites were determined to leave the wilderness. So that's the question. If you find yourself in a wilderness today, are you determined to leave that wilderness, to find a way out? Or have you become comfortable with it? You see your walls of Jericho, and you're like, I'm good. Those walls are too high. That city is too fortified. It's too risky to try and conquer it. I may not like where I am. I may not like this wilderness I'm in. But I'd rather stay here than try to break through those walls. But what does our Lord Jesus say about those walls? If you only have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move that mountain. You can move those walls. So maybe it's time, if I'm speaking to anyone here today, maybe it's time you took a step of faith. Maybe it's time you determined to move that mountain in your life and stop having to take another trip around it. And if anyone here doesn't still quite grasp what I'm talking about, I'm going to share a personal story with you real quick. I had this exact same kind of situation in my life. Back in the 1990s, extremely complex situation, extremely difficult, almost impossible. Some of the details of which I worked for my family. My family had a business, had a very domineering father who kind of controlled me and my mom and other family members. And it was basically one of those kind of situations where I was expected to run the family business one day. I was expected to work for the family and then run the family business, and that was supposed to be my life. This is how my father had it all set up, and this is what was going to happen. He even pulled me out of college to help him run the family business because it wasn't going well. During this time, I got married, and my father had, there'd been so many years of my father convincing me of various things that, you know, I made one of the biggest mistakes that any man can make when he gets married is I took the side of my parents at the expense of the side of my wife. That's not in my message, but guys, your wife is number one. You cannot take the side of your family at the expense of your wife. She's first. I hadn't learned that yet. And to my wife's credit, she didn't divorce me, although she thought about it, because that's how bad it got. But I was in this situation. I got to help my family. My family's business can't survive without me. My family's business literally may go out of business if I don't help. Don't I owe it to my dad? He raised me. He taught me everything I know. He gave me everything I had ever gotten up to that point. Don't I owe him that? To help him save the family business that had been around since his father started it, my grandfather? How am I supposed to leave that? God was calling me to leave my family business, which was going to cause a rift with my father you could only imagine. And I knew it was going to cause a rift with my father that I could only imagine. And that's why I didn't do it for years. Those walls are too big, God. Do you know what's going to happen if I try to break down those walls and leave my family business and leave my dad's expectations for me? And he's probably not going to speak to me anymore. And he's probably going to disinherit me. He's going to cut me out of his will and everything. God, you realize that's what's going to happen if I try to break down those walls and leave the family business. But I knew my marriage was about to fall. It was falling apart. It was about to end. I made a vow to my wife, to have and to hold, till death do we part. I made a vow. You're number one, sweetie. Not my dad, not my mom, not my grandfather who started the business. You're number one. You're number one, sweetie. And there's a whole lot more to this story that's as complex as you can imagine. There's a lot of different elements to this as well. But that was the decision. That's what I'm talking about, okay? I'm in this wilderness. And now this wilderness I'm in is going to lead to the destruction of my marriage. But I was still thinking about not leaving the wilderness because I had a lifetime of expectations laid on me by my father. So who? What am I going to do? And it took a step of faith, not knowing what's this going to look like on the other side. I'm just going to step out because I knew God was calling me to do it. And I'm just going to step out. I'm just going to do it. And I just trust you, Lord. I just trust you. And I know it's going to be really, really hard. And you know that my father didn't speak to me for 3 years. And then one day God told me to call him because we hadn't spoken. Actually, I think it was about 2 years. And God told me to call him because we hadn't spoken in 2 years. And of course, I didn't want to do that because I knew there'd just be a fight if I were to call him up. He'd start a fight. We'd start fighting. I would just want to get off the phone. But I obeyed God in that too. I was like, okay. Called my dad. It was like we were old friends. It's like nothing ever happened. It's like we were buddies catching up on lost time. We talked for like 45 minutes. We made plans to see each other the next week. And 2 days later, he dropped dead of a heart attack. But God told me, call your dad. Call your dad. Call your dad. Call your dad. Because God didn't want me to live with the guilt of having not spoken to my father for 2 years, even though really it's all his fault, okay? But didn't want me to live with the guilt of that. He knew it would torment me the rest of my life if I hadn't even spoken to him in 2 years. So he made sure my dad and I had a great phone conversation 2 days before he dropped dead of a heart attack. And he was 55 years old. So there was no signs that he was about to drop dead of a heart attack. He was younger than I am. But that's what God does when you step out in faith. Even though you don't know what the outcome's going to be, even though it doesn't necessarily make sense, you just have to do it when you feel like the Lord is calling you to do it, and He will take care of you. He will take care of you 100% of the time. I love this quote from Chuck Swindoll where I'm about to close. Chuck Swindoll said, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. I think that's really good. Life is 10% what happens to you, 90% how you react to it. And then I was actually finishing this message this morning, and another quote came to me that I love from Star Wars, from the movie Rogue One. The quote is, "There is more than one sort of prison, Captain. I sense that you carry yours wherever you go." Look, you've got to really want to change your situation. Even if changing your situation may only come down to how you react to it. Instead of wallowing in your situation, maybe it's time you developed a new attitude towards your situation. The bottom line is, whatever your situation may be, if you want the walls of Jericho in your life to fall, if you want to enter into the promises God has for you, believe His word, listen to good voices, determine that you will leave your wilderness, and step out in faith. And then watch and see what the Lord will do for you. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for all these guys and anyone watching online. And I do, Lord, I pray as I was putting this message together, it went in a direction I wasn't suspecting. I believe your Holy Spirit led me in that direction because I believe that there's some men or folks online that needed to hear this message. And I just feel like there are some who are in some situations that are difficult. They're in a wilderness situation. And they need to take steps to get out of that situation according to your will. And so I pray, Lord, that you would use these words and to cause all of us, Lord, to reflect on how we're walking, Lord, if we're truly walking by faith or if we're allowing things to hinder us. And especially, Lord, any of us who have situations where we really are just kind of going around that mountain over and over again, and not ever seeming to find ways out of it, Lord. I pray that you would start working in our lives to show us step by step the directions you're calling us to walk, the path that you're calling us to go down, regardless of how difficult it may seem, regardless of how even it may not even make sense. But give us the peace, Lord, in our hearts when we know that we're being obedient to what you're calling us to do. And I pray that all of us would see you working in a way where we could look back when we're out of this particular wilderness situation, looking back and say, God, you are so good. Look what the Lord God did for me in that situation. I thank you, Lord. I pray you bless our time in small groups right now. In Jesus' name, amen.